place today. Amen. We give God glory for what's about to happen today. Hallelujah. Because we're believing today there's going to be some massive breakthroughs in our lives. Over the next few weeks, we're starting a new series called Am I Free? And we're going to be addressing different areas where we're going to try to answer the question, and each one's going to have a personal answer. Are you free in this area? And there's no better place to start than where we're starting today. Generational curses. See, 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." Amen. Now the Lord is Spirit, and where the Spirit is Lord, there is freedom. Let me say that again. Now the Lord is Spirit, and where the Spirit is Lord, there is freedom. See, freedom comes where the Lord's Spirit is. And we're going to seek today the Lord's Spirit to take us to the place He wants us to go. We're talking about generational iniquities or curses today. And this is a powerful thing. And for some, this may be the first time you've ever heard it being spoken of. And you're going to be surprised at what it is in many cases. But 1 Peter 2:9 says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness and into marvelous light." Three things. You are chosen by God, you are special to God, and you are to proclaim the praises of our God. Free people, free people. Free people are free to proclaim the praises of our God. We want to eliminate, in the name of Jesus, any chains, any bondage, any stronghold that keep us from proclaiming the praises of our God as a living epistle to the world and everyone around us, by how we are free to love Him with all our mind, with all our heart, with all our strength, with all our soul, with everything that we are. If any of that there is hindrances, then we have to wonder, are we really free in this area? And we'll talk about that. This generation is responsible for two things, for us and for future generations to come. So therefore, it is our responsibility today to break things that have been following us through the years and to start new things moving forward. And as we talk about these generational iniquities or curses, I want you to please keep in mind something important here. Felt this morning in prayer. The devil's going to come and is going to try to discourage you by making you feel guilty, shameful, and taking blame for things of the past. When he does that, you tell him to shut his mouth, because the Holy Spirit wants you to be aware of these things so that at the name of Jesus, get them off of you and move on. Amen. Take those things and replace them with the blessings of God. So if you start squirming, start rejoicing. And start praising. Because God's going to do something new today. And He wants to take that. He took your guilt. He took your shame. He took your iniquity. He took your sin. He got rid of them so that you can, I can be free here today. So when the devil starts saying those things, oh, remember when? This is the way you've been. See what you did? You tell him, see what my Jesus did. Okay? Keep that in mind. Do not let this bother you. Sin. Sin, we want to differentiate between sin and iniquity. Sin is the act of doing something wrong. It is, and it literally means to miss the mark. This might be a review for some of us. But sin means to miss the mark. It's the outer action, physical attribute of what we do. Iniquity is the inner motivation or the well that the sin springs from. What we are tendencies or being prone to do something. So if I am having a beer or something like that, could be a sin, But if I am addicted to this, that's the iniquity that I need to break. So these are the things I want us to keep in mind. It's a predisposition or a bending, a bent towards something that we tend to do. The sin is telling the lie. The iniquity is being a liar constantly. Okay? So these are the things we want to do. It's the inner motivation. So curses, generational curses, come as a result of disobedience or an open door at some point for the devil to come in. How does that open door happen? Well, we'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute, but one of the clear ways is by agreeing with something the liar tells you. And when you agree with the liar, you empower the liar. And you carry that on. And if it's not cut, it is passed on. So, as we're talking, ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you lies that we've accepted or we believe that are not true. I mean, just for most of us, a lot of the women here, oh, I'm too fat, I'm not pretty enough, I'm not this. For the man, oh, I've got to do this and I've got to do that and I have to be this way to be a man. Question those things. Question those things. Don't empower the liar. So how would I know if I'm struggling with a generational curse or iniquity? And what is a generational curse? Well, it is, definition is, it's an unholy union or spiritual influence, an open door or tendency in a family's lineage to accept as normal something that controls the behavior in the family. So basically, it's something not of God, that for whatever reason, when the door was opened many years ago in my family history, in my lineage, we've continued to do it. We've continued to do it over and over again. And you know what? How we justify it? That's the way we've always been. That's the way I grew up. That's just how my family is. My grandfather was like that, my father was like that, and I'm like that too. It's our heritage. I mean, think about things that, you know, we hold on to and in a way even take pride in that are not of God, that have been passed down to generation, and realize we're passing them down to the next generation. So unless we break them, we're continuing this generational iniquity. Exodus 20, 4 through 6 says, "You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that in the earth beneath, or that is in the water and under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and the fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands to those who love me and keep my commandments." And if you go through the Old Testament, what you see is what is things that bring about a curse, but then there are things that bring about the blessing. And to put it short, obedience to God, faithfulness to God will open up the door for family blessings and blessings, period. And walking in disobedience opens our door up for that other stuff, for the things that we call generational curses or iniquities. So what are some of the ungodly belief systems that we need to break? And this is not a limited or exhaustive list. I just decided to throw a bunch out. How about unforgiveness? Maybe you grew up or you saw your mom and dad never forgive that aunt who wronged you. So guess what? They taught you unforgiveness, how to hold grudges. How about pride? We'll get to that. How about pride? You hold on to that pride. Well, that's just the way I am and I'm not going to change. Why? Because you might have seen that in your history. That's the way my grandfather was. That's why my mom was, however it might be. Hurts and traumas. It's that victim mentality. Generational equivalent of bloodline curses, we have talked about. Mental strongholds, the way we think, attitudes on life. Rejection. Think about that. Rejection. Is that something that your family lineage struggled with? To prove themselves constantly or try to win someone's affection. Unworthiness, guilt or shame. Doing to achieve value or recognition or worth. In other words, for me to feel good about myself, I gotta do something to get someone's approval. It's performance orientation is the term. Control. How about I'm so insecure that I have to have control over things? Physical, self-image type stuff, not feeling complete in who I am or comfortable in my own skin. How about personality traits? How about safety and protection and being guarded? Oh, I'm not letting them into me. Close, too close, because I don't want them to hurt me. Retaliation. They did this to me. We're going to get them back. That's one of the things my wife in our cultural history with the Arab nation, you know, you kill my son, we're going to kill your son. You're going to do this to us, we're going to do that to you. I mean, our families escaped their birth land because of stuff like that, for one reason or another. Hopelessness, helplessness. Again, the victim mentality. Defective relationship. Ever notice going from one relationship to another and not? There might be something in your family history. But even more than that, there might be something we're developing today that if we don't deal with, we're going to pass it on. So let's stop it today. See, a concern. This is a problem with some of these things, especially in New Jersey with this Jersey pride thing, okay? People who are in sin sometimes or have these things are okay with it. They're okay with it. Because why? They're proud of the way their brothers are and their fathers are or their mothers are or their aunts are or their grandparents are. This is how we do things. They're okay with it. It's the way my family or generations before me taught us to do it, so we're going to do it that way. So we're okay with it. And not to mention, sin is fun sometimes. If it wasn't fun, we wouldn't be doing it, right? We would not be eating chocolate cake if it did not taste good. No, that is not sin. That is correct. Unless you're a diabetic, but that's a different story. But sin is fun, and sometimes we're okay with it because we like it, and we're not willing to part it. See, the demonic forces, the spirits of darkness that want to keep us in these bondages, want to stay our friends in these things. They want to stay our buddies. And one of the things that I've learned over the last few years in order for me to be set free is I don't want to make the spirit behind the action my friend. I don't want to be friends with this force, this demon, this spirit. I don't want to be comfortable in my chains. I got to say, I don't like you anymore. I am unfriending you today. We're done. And I'm bonding with the Holy Spirit. Now, is this going to be easy? No, it's going to take work. But it has to come from my will to want God, want Jesus, want the Holy Spirit filling up this temple and this house more than anything else in this world. Amen. I've got to want that. I got to want to be friends with the Holy Spirit more than I want to be friends with this. I need to be friends with the Holy Spirit more than I want to be friends with my insecurity and my comfort in protecting myself. I want to be friends with the Holy Spirit more than I want to be friends with this attitude that I might have and the negativity in my life or the anger in my life or the bitterness in my life. Because, you know, some of those things are releases. Well, I want my release to be in praise in what I do for the Lord, not release in that area. So this is something we have to keep in mind. I mean, there are people who just love to curse. They love to curse. That's just the way my family talks. Well, at some point, this has to change. The tongue has to change. People who love to drink and smoke, and I know these are struggles, but if we're going to believe the word of God that I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, I have to believe that in him I can break these things. Different addictions. Sex before marriage is great. This world says that's what you're supposed to do. That's the fun thing. The word of God is pretty clear to maintain your purity as the bride and the groom come together. And what it means, and we can get into that some other time. But these things we have to look at and say, do I want to be friends with them or not? The word of God says to be holy, Leviticus 11:14. I am the Lord your God. Consecrate yourselves and be holy. Why? Because I am holy. So, if where the Lord is Spirit, and where the Spirit is Lord, there is freedom, then where the Spirit is Lord, there's holiness. So if he is Lord in my life, truly Lord, it's his holiness that covers me. And I have to want that holiness to cover me. I have to want his holiness over me. Three ways generational sin and its effects are passed. One is genes. It's a physical, genetic thing. Diseases, sicknesses, things of that nature. Cancer, diabetes, high blood pressure, gout, cholesterol, Alzheimer's, dementia. These are things that are passed down from generation to generation. You can look at them and say, well, how do you open the door to that? And how, you know what? I don't know how each line opens that door to that. But you know what? Our God's name is Jehovah Rapha, God our healer. And we're created to be the healed of the Lord. Therefore, God does not want us to continue in these things. So we need to come against him, these things in the name of Jesus and break them. One of the things that, you know, my wife gets on me about my diet and exercise, and I upset her and make her crazy, sometimes purposely, about it and joke with her. But it's true. I have diabetes, high blood pressure. Not me, but on my father's side of the family. Blood pressure, cholesterol, and gout, and heart issues on my father's side. On my mother's side, I have dementia and cancer. So guess what? We've already started coming against it. It's ending. My mom's aunt had dementia. Her two sisters have already had cancer as well. We're stopping that with our bloodline right now in Jesus' name. We are breaking that because why? We are the healed of the Lord. His benefits are he heals all my diseases. I'm holding on to those benefits of the Lord. Okay? He took my sins, my sickness, my everything away. So we're coming against that. Another way it's passed is through example. What we've seen. Kids learn between the ages of 2 and 5 more in that period of time than they will learn the rest of their lives combined in terms of information. So when you're sitting in your kitchen table or talking on the phone or sitting somewhere and your baby is in their playpen or their crib, they can hear, they can see. Boys want to be like dad and girls want to be like mom. They see, they learn. Their idols on TV. They see, they learn. These things are passed down by examples. I've shared this many times. One of the greatest blessings is seeing my father cry in his out to the Lord in his most difficult hour. See, how different would I be, and I know I would be different today, if during that moment I saw him cursing and screaming. Instead, in the worst possible, one of the worst possible moments of his life, he cried to the Lord in prayer with my mom. I learned that blessing. And I thank God for that instead of the curse of cussing out God, being angry, throwing temper tantrums. Because that would have been passed down to me. A third example is the law of sowing and reaping. God established the law of sowing and reaping for the purpose of blessing. Understand that? What we sow, He establishes so that we can sow the things of God to reap the blessings of God. When we tithe, when we give, we can never do more than what God can do. We can never outgive God. We know that. When man sinned at the fall, that same law intended for blessing also opened up the door for destruction. So that, as we read, through disobedience, the law of sowing and reaping takes place with cursing. So we want to change that. How we do that? By pouring out to God, by sowing into the things of God. We change that by, when we don't feel like it, we praise. When we don't have, we give thanks. When we're frustrated, we pray. When all doubt is around us and our senses say it's not going to happen, we have faith and we declare it in faith. We sow the things of God no matter what the circumstance is, and we stand tall. No matter how dark it is or how light it is, we give glory to God and we pour the things of God. So I want to talk to you about three steps to breaking free of a generational curse. Number one, recognize. Number two, repent. And number three, cancel. It's really that simple. But we have to want to do it. First one is to recognize. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you. Is there a pattern in my life? Why do I keep doing the same thing over and over again? Have you ever asked yourself that? Why is it I get so frustrated so quickly or angry so quickly? Why do I lie when I'm scared in defense instead of just being honest? Why do I do the things that I do even when I don't want to do? Isn't that what Paul said? Ask yourself that. Because in there lies a root of a generational iniquity of sort. Something is in there. Why do I look in the mirror and keep thinking I'm ugly? Why do I keep this pattern of lifestyle, keep going from one negative relationship to another? Why can't every time somebody wants to get close to me, I push them away? Recognize patterns in our lives. Recognize the diseases in our lives that take place, the physical illnesses. I mean, doctors do a medical history. When you go for a checkup, check off if you have this in your family history. Why don't we do that with God too? Wait, Lord. Got diabetes, we have this, we have that. I ran into an individual this week at work who most male members in his family line passed away between the ages of 45 and 50. You tell me that doesn't have a mental effect on you? That doesn't put you in bondage? Break that. Look for patterns in our lifestyle, in the way we are, in our family history, that just give us ideas. But part of also recognizing it, call it for what it is. Call it what it is. Don't rationalize it. Don't make excuses for it, but call it for what it is. This is not of God. Call it for what it is. You know, I had to change and recognize that my introvert tendencies were really insecurities and were symptoms of depression. And my mom had depression, struggled with depression. I had to call it what it is, not say, oh, I'm just introverted, so I'm not very open. Or how about this? I'd like to serve rather than socialize. I could be in a large group. I can stand up here and preach to you and be outgoing and all that, but then we have a social gathering or a party. I wouldn't know how to interact. So what I do is I start serving. I start doing to mask it. of my, and it was based in insecurity and things like that. Recognize it, call it what it is. Because when you admit there's an issue, then you can deal with it. When you put it out there, because as long as it stays in here and you don't call it out, you can pretend it doesn't exist, you can make excuses for it, but when it's right out on the table, now it's there to be dealt with. And you call it for what it is. So recognize the generational iniquity or sin. Number two, repent. Repent for opening the door to this sin. Maybe yourself. Repent on behalf of past generations who opened the door to this. I may not know where dementia and how it began in my family's lineage, or cancer, or high blood pressure. But that doesn't mean I can't shut that door in the name of Jesus. That doesn't mean I can't pray, as of now, the door is shut behind me. That's the past. I'm moving forward. I'm even setting my father free of it in prayer and declaring the Lord's healing over him and over my aunts, so that my other aunts will not get cancer anymore and the aunts who fought it will not regain it. We shut the door. We repent on behalf of our past generations. And we also repent for keeping the door open. So we repent for what we, opening the door ourselves. We repent for on behalf of others, but we also repent for others and us keeping the door open, calling it our friend. See, and repentance simply means to change your mind. In other words, I'm not your friend anymore. I don't like you anymore. We're no longer social buddies. We're done. We're cutting it off in the name of Jesus. My new best friend is Jesus. My new best friend is the Holy Spirit living in me. We're cutting this off right now. We're breaking free. Galatians 6, 7, 8 says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will also reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." Let's get close to the Spirit of God. Let's reap through the Spirit, into the Spirit, into the kingdom of God, and let the blessings flow. God's desire is for us to be free. I don't know how many times the Word of God has to say that for us to understand it. But He desires us to be free in Him. Leviticus 26, 39 and 42 says, "And those of you who are left shall waste away in their iniquity in your enemies' lands, and also in their fathers' iniquities, which are with them, they shall waste away. But if they confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers with their unfaithfulness in which they were unfaithful to me, that they also have walked contrary to me. And that I also have walked contrary to them and brought them into the land of their enemies. If their uncircumcised hearts are humbled and they accept their guilt, then I will remember my covenant with Jacob and my covenant with Isaac and my covenant with Abraham, and I will remember, and I will remember the land." You repent. When God remembers, in other words, He's blessing. He's coming in. He's moving. Repentance leads to those things. Leviticus 26, 40. If they confess their iniquity, that's it, and the iniquity of their fathers, God can move. I may not have opened the door, but I can stand on behalf of my family to shut that door and repent in Jesus' name. So I recognize, I repent, and I cancel. I cancel this thing. I cancel its assignment. You've heard that term with some of the people here as we've prayed over things. We cancel the assignment of the enemy. In other words, the job he was sent to do, he got his pink slip. It's over with. It's done. Okay? We cancel it. We unfriend it, so to speak. See, Jesus, Isaiah 53, 5, He was wounded for our transgression, was bruised for iniquities. Wounds our outward things. These were the actions, the outward sins, the cuts, the scars. But the bruise is the inward, is what's inside of us. So he was not only wounded for our transgressions, our iniquities, but was also bruised for our iniquities. He was wounded for our sins and bruised for our iniquities. So he came to take what's on the outside and what's on the inside, to be done with it once and for all. Romans 6:19 says, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, unto iniquity, even so yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. Exactly the same way you chose the things that brought about the curses or the generational iniquity, you can go about bringing about the blessings. You submitted to those things. You accepted those things. You listened to those things. You opened the door to those things. Now, submit to the things of God. Open the door to the things of God. Yield to the things of God. Listen to the things of God. Walk in the things of God. Move in the power of the Spirit in the things of God. Renew your mind in the Word of God. Same way, the thoughts that held you captive, the belief system, your core beliefs that you've accepted that were faulty, guess what? They can be replaced with God's core beliefs, the mind of Christ. The attitude of looking in the mirror and saying, I'm ugly, can be replaced with looking in the mirror and saying, I am beautiful in the eyes of God. The attitude and belief that I am a loser, I failed at my life, in the eyes of God, can be replaced with the victory is mine. He has won, and he has lifted me up, and he put a crown on my head. I am a winner in his eyes. I was worth dying for, and losers aren't worth dying for. But God found me worthy to die for. So he sent his only son to die for me. And then on top of that, he gave me spirit to walk in that victory, to break this generational iniquity so I can be free. That was the purpose of Jesus. So I recognize, I repent, and I cancel. It's that simple. Now, it requires a will, as we've been saying. A will. You've got to want it. I have to want to be set free. I have to want to not be friends with those things. Remember what the scripture says. When you cast out a demon, you need to fill your house back up, because it'll come back with seven of its buddies. And if that house is empty, if you're saying, oh, maybe I shouldn't have cast it out, maybe I shouldn't have stopped, it's going to come back even stronger, and it'll be more difficult to fend off. So you've got to want it and replace it with the things of God. You don't just say goodbye to generational iniquity without replacing with the things of God. Amen. You have to replace it. You get rid of the mind that's faulty with the mind of Christ. The heart that's of stone with the heart of flesh of God. Okay? The attitude, whatever it might be, with the heart of God. It has to be replaced. I have to want it, and I have to replace it with the things of God. Recognize, repent, and cancel. Now, in your bulletin, I put a little sheet, and it's got a little more things in there. But I want you to look at the one that's a general generational curse prayer. Now, I added a few other prayers that were more specific. In a moment, we're going to stand up and we're going to together pray this generational curse prayer to begin the process of breaking these iniquities from our lines, family bloodlines. But when we are done, we're going to take a little more time for individual work, because Some of us are going to need some work more specifically. And I want to encourage you to get with somebody. Or maybe you need to just get with God alone. Whatever you need to do, work these things through. And take them home with you and work them at home. There's other examples of prayers you can work through. But remember, these are just format. This is just something there for you to follow. But the real work has to come from your heart. They're empty words if we're just reading words on a paper. We have to want this. But we are, as a body, going to declare it in faith and then let the Holy Spirit minister to us a little bit longer. So would you stand with me now? I'm sorry. Yeah.
So I just wanted to share real quick while you guys are looking over your prayer so that we can pray those and break those generational curses together. I just want to give you like a practical example. So yes, we want to come against, let's say we have our eating habits. Yes, we want to come against it. We want to cancel it. But like Mike said, Pastor Mike said, it's not enough to just cancel it. Now I have to replace it. What am I going to replace that with? I'm going to replace it with eating good. I'm going to replace it with exercise. And in my own life, I just want to share with you guys that my mom, all glory to God, she came against the generational curse of physical abuse. So I have stories from her telling me that, you know, as her mom would be brushing her hair, she'd get upset with her and just break that brush over her head. And my mom just purposed it in her heart. By God's grace, she purposed it that she was not going to abuse us. And so there were sometimes where that little thing in me would want to just push so hard that I know my mom was just shaking because she wanted to beat me, but she didn't because she had purposed it in her heart that she was not going to beat me and to have that scarring. So I always had that, but when I got married to Mike, there was something still there. I wanted a happy marriage. I wanted a really, I wanted a fantastic marriage, but when I married Mike, I found myself screaming at him, like, all the time. And I'm like, oh, God is great, God is good. And I'm like, ah, you know, this thing would come out, and it just daily came out. And so I would do all of these spiritual things, but it's not enough. You have to do the practical things too. And the practical thing after you do all the spiritual, you know me, I'm all about God's word. I'm all about, you know, his praises. But then at the end of the day, I had to say, today I'm going to have a good day with my husband. Today I'm going to have a good day with my husband. And I would mess it up day after day after day after day. And I remember specifically one day I had asked him to not do a particular thing. And he kind of said, well, I didn't think it was that big of a deal. And so he did the thing that I asked him not to do, right? Mm-hmm. And of course, it was while I was leading the Bible study. I don't know, a lot of you women came to the Bethmore Bible studies. And it was right before all the ladies were going to get there. And so instead of screaming at him, by God's grace, God shut my mouth. And we went on a walk, probably about a mile. And when we got back home, I was like, I didn't yell at you. Woo-hoo! I knew it was gone. It was gone. It was gone. He took it. So I just want to encourage you. You might have failed and failed and failed and failed and failed and failed, but God. And the Bible says, you know, you might fall seven times, but the righteous man gets back up. Amen. Get back up and get that thing under your feet. Amen.
All right, so let's pray this together. Let's just set our family bondage free, set our families free. Heavenly Father, according to my covenant with you, I ask you to open the books of my past, of every covenant made by my forefathers that they entered into on my behalf that has given protection to the demonic around me. I look to these, Heavenly Father, and see if any of these are not absolutely just and righteous. Then annul them and release the affliction of the demonic on me. In the name of Jesus, I declare the blood of Jesus to stand between me and my past generations as a wall of separation. I cancel every assignment of darkness and remove every right of the demonic to afflict me because of the sins of the generations past. I call to me my righteous inheritance and the blessings of that generation in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Holy Spirit, right now, just come over us as we declare these things in faith right now. Holy Spirit, come and minister to us. And if you guys can play some music for us right now, Holy Spirit, come and bring into revelation deeper things, Lord. Deeper things that we need to work on with you, that we need to break through, whether they are our own individual struggles or struggles we see in our generation and past generations. Yes, Holy Spirit, come. I'm going to release you right now to pray with one another. If you need some work done with the Holy Spirit alone first, you can come up to the altar area, however way God leads you, but I want to just come together and to pray with one or two people with you. And as the Holy Spirit shows you, if you need to get up and speak into someone, go right ahead. Jesus' name.
And next week being our mission Sunday.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Extravagant. Your friendship, it is intimate. I feel I'm moving to the rhythm of your grace. Your fragrance is intoxicating in a secret place.